Hello, world. It's Mike Traverso with the Friends That Code podcast, where I get a chance to showcase some amazing people I know that just happen to write code for a living. Folks, today I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with someone that I met through DevFest Florida 2017. You may know her by her signature pink hair color. Regardless of how you know her, if you do, consider yourself lucky. Every talk that she gives, be it at a local meetup or a larger conference, she's able to convey her knowledge in a fun, effervescent way, keeping the audience engaged. Speaking of keeping an audience engaged, today's guest is also a podcaster. That's right. If you've listened to an episode of Thunder Nerds, a show, nay, a conversation with people behind the technology that love what they do and do tech, well, pretty good, you've heard Janelle. Thunder Nerds is a podcast that comes out once a week, and today's guest was a co-host on that great show. By now, you can see that giving conference talks and being a podcast co-host, our guest today really enjoys talking about tech. That love has spilled over into one of her other passions, giving back to the community. She's on the board of advisors to Orlando Devs, a community of developers in Orlando who are lifelong learners and love being around like-minded people. You can catch them at their monthly meetups, which are now held virtually. If this weren't enough, she's got something cooking this month that is so super cool. As a member of Black Orlando Tech, a nonprofit organization working to accelerate minority economic advancement through tech careers, she is teaching a class on intermediate web development. Now that by itself is super cool, but wait, there's more. The best part about this class is while there is an admission fee, if you finish the 8-week course, you get part of your money back. Now I've heard of volunteering, and I've heard of code schools. I've never heard of a code school that returns part of your admission upon completion. That is a new one. Developer, speaker, instructor, community organizer, podcaster, and my first guest with pink hair. Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest is Janelle Pizarro. Janelle, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for sticking around through some of these technical difficulties. I probably would have bounced, but so Janelle, I ask all of our guests to tell me what they do for a living. So if you would be so kind to please indulge me, what do you do for a living?
Cool. So I am a front-end developer. What I would like to call myself, because I don't really consider myself a front-end developer, is a UX engineer. So essentially that means I am a terrible designer, but I can make design things come to life, right? So I love making, designs a reality, right? And I love creating accessible UIs that are, good for the end user, right? Like, so that's kind of like my passion. I love being there for the user, right? Even if sometimes it kind of clashes with what any like company kinds of hires me for, right? They're like, we just want you to get work done. And I'm like, well, does the user care about this feature? it's kind of like a user advocate, I'd like to say.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, because ultimately at the end of the day, if the software isn't usable, company's not going to be happy anyway. So
yeah.
So you're kind of forward thinking on that front. So that's a good, that's how you think. That's how you say it. You promote it that way. I'm forward thinking. I'm thinking about all the problems you're not thinking of yet.
Yeah.
And I know you're in a recent position. So you just started that position. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So I want to take a step back. You and I met at DevFest Florida, and for folks listening, if you're noticing a pattern listening to some of these podcasts, I tend to talk a lot about people from DevFest Florida. And the takeaway is that you should attend meetups, attend conferences, introduce yourself to people, make contacts, because you never know when you're going to be down the road and you're starting a podcast and you're going to need to bother people to be guests on your show. But back when I first met you, Janelle, the first time I saw a talk that you gave was at the UI UX conference. And I didn't see it in person. I saw it recorded, and that was in the St. Pete area. And I was bummed that I missed it. And that FOMO or fear of missing out, that's why I wanted to run a big conference. And that's how DevFest Florida came to be. So that's when, at that time, that's when I reached out to you, asked you to submit a proposal. And the rest is history. Do you remember the talk that you gave for DevFest?
Yes, it was my second ever talk in the history of the world, and I was terrified. And I looked at it the other day, and I'm so sorry for everybody who watched that talk in person or online. It is the worst talk ever.
It is not. It's not. It is not. I loved it. I loved it because, so the talk was React Developer's Journey to the Dark Side of Angular. Yeah. So it had Star Wars, very heavily themed in Star Wars. So you're appealing to the nerds in the audience. You had Angular for Google developers in the conference, but you also had React, and it referenced Angular as the dark side. So that was a fun way of making the folks at Google so nervous. Was that was your second talk ever? Was that the first? I mean, because that it was a large conference, but the breakouts kind of were smaller or medium size, rooms. Was that the first time that you gave that talk to a crowd that size?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That was. It was very scary.
Okay.
It was just very frightening and kind of awesome, and it gave me the the speaking bug a bit more, for sure. Wasn't as mortifying as the first time, for sure, but definitely really, really cool. And it was awesome to be able to speak in front of, more than like 5 people and my dogs.
Oh, so you practice? Okay.
Oh yeah.
I give my talks to some Funkos.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I'm a fan.
They never complain.
Right? I mean, they're in boxes. Like, they can barely hear.
So I want to say, so after your talk, right? So this is so bananas. So you give the talk, and what we did was, as organizers of the conference, we set it up such that we could have the speakers talk to the Thunder Nerds podcast so that we could help promote their show, because they're a local show based out of, I think, St. Pete, right? Mm-hmm. And then we figured, okay, this will also get exposure for all of our speakers. So we said, okay, this is fantastic. So after your talk, you go in to meet with the Thunder Nerds. And a short while later, I check and you're co-hosting the show. So did you have any idea, that like as you're sitting there being interviewed by Frederick and Brian, like that's going to happen?
No, I had absolutely no idea. I didn't even know who they were, like, at all. I had no idea. I'd never seen them before in my life. They messaged me out of the blue one day, like maybe a couple months after, and were like, hey, so we're really looking for a third person on our podcast, and we really think you'd be awesome. You should probably join us. And I thought that was the coolest thing. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, they're really awesome folks. So,
I listen to the show. I don't watch it as much. I caught up on some of the videos, and it was always just a cool vibe, having a third person. I don't know how you guys do it though, because with 3 people knowing, I mean, even with myself and a guest, like I have no idea when to speak, when to shut up, when to laugh, when not to laugh, because if someone, so. And then
you're fine. See, it happens just like that. Exactly what it is.
So when you have 4 people on a mic, it's just like, oh, okay, who's talking now?
Yeah, at one point we had like 6 people. Wow. So like it would be 3 of us and then 3 people that we were interviewing. That happened once. That we also did 2 at a time as well. And I think so recently I got interviewed from the Thunder Nerds. And it was like a, what did we call it? Oh, Confmigos, where it was like,
yeah.
And it was spectacular because there was like 9 of us there. And it was just, wow, so many people. And I know like when I first started hosting, I was super, super shy. And it was kind of, a little like, there's going to be at least 7 people listening to that. So I don't want to look like a fool or sound like a crazy person. I didn't want to seem like somebody who's like, doesn't know what they're doing. Right. And they've been doing this for a bit at least. And so I went to school for broadcast communications and was totally set on being on the radio. Like that's, I either was thinking, yeah, it was pretty cool. But I thought I was either going to be like a radio broadcaster or on Broadway, one or the other. Didn't happen for me, but yeah. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, I've done this before. People should think that I'm okay, right? Like I'm, and then I just became super nervous. And so it's really great that the guys were, they would text me and be like, hey, you haven't spoken in like 5 minutes. You should probably say something. So they were super supportive. I think, so Frederick still currently has my laughter as his ringtone. So whenever, like if I call him, you can hear my laughter as it's ringtone. So like they're great guys and really spectacular. So if you get a chance to listen to them, they're awesome. They also have a new co-host, Sarah Veslov, who is just amazing and phenomenal. So she like wrote the book on like a bunch of awesome stuff. I can't remember what her book is called. Please don't hear it. Don't hate me, Sarah. I'm so sorry. But
I'll find it and put it in the show notes. But it's all about UI UX.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I remember like when I went to school, like she had graduated like the cohort before me. And like I just thought she was like the goddess of all things. So like she was like the coolest person in the world. She's like, yeah, I'm on a farm and I'm an amazing front end developer and I do cool things. And I'm just like, I just want to be you when I grow up. That's all I want.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah. And she's also from the Florida area. So it's like I said, it's a cool thing. I like the show. Those guys love now. I mean, cause it's a great show. It's once a week, I think Sunday nights.
Not sure. Just remember recording. Yeah.
Well, I'll find out when it is and we'll make sure it's all in the show notes so people can go check it out easy.
Yeah.
But you know, you come away from that conference, with that's you said that speaking bug. Were there any other career or life lessons that you came away from that conference with?
Yes. So I came out of that conference thinking, don't wait till the week before to write your slides. So don't do that. Also, don't change your slides the night before. That's probably a terrible idea. Be yourself and have a backup, right? So like those are like four big things I think I learned from that. So you know, now if I speak, I don't start the night before or I don't like, you know, start from scratch the night before, right? I definitely take some time. There are speakers who do start like the night before, or maybe like 2 days before, but they've been speaking for like years at this point. And so it's like, you know, it's essentially like they have this talk and they've already given it like 6 or 7 times. And so like, they're just like twiddling with the slides a little bit. In my case, as like, when I was like a brand new at speaking, I had not given that talk 6 or 7 times. And so I should have just left it alone. And so that's been really, really helpful. And then also, you know, being yourself, because, you know, if you're trying too hard to like make jokes or adding like sound effects or whatever it is, it's not going to work out for you either. You feel awkward and then your audience feels awkward. And then it's just like a really bad date and you don't want that at all. So, yeah.
You were mentioning, you know, how a lot of speakers kind of give the same talk. I mean, that's a way to do it, because if you're giving the same talk, you can kind of just change that title slide and be like, okay, I'm at XYZ conference. And then next week, okay, yeah, I'm just changing it because I'm at the Acme conference today.
Yep.
And it's just same slides. So awesome.
Yeah. It's definitely something that, you know, I want to get back to doing as a speaking because I miss it. I mean,
do it because DevFest Florida is coming back. It's a virtual conference.
Yeah, I've heard. I definitely miss it. I think I gave a talk last year in October and October or November, and it was great and like I totally missed it and. It was so nice because I'd given the same talk kind of like maybe a few months before in St. Petersburg. Okay. And so it was just like, I don't feel stressed. I'm just here. I'm enjoying it. And it just felt really nice.
I was talking to some folks and they were telling me this. They were telling me kind of the same thing. But what they were doing was they record the talk because now everything's virtual. Mm-hmm. And they just sit back at their computer and hit play. And then chat with the people in, you know, that are attending the conference in the chat rooms. And then they're like, yeah. And I thought it was weird because I was watching someone at first and I was watching someone give a talk and they were chatting in the room. I was like, how are you doing both at the same time? That's amazing. So anyways.
It's because they're superstars.
Yeah. So there's something else I noticed about your career. You know, you have this propensity for giving back to the community. You know, so in the intro, I mentioned your involvement with Orlando Devs, right? And, you know, Orlando Devs, there's all sorts of technology talks that are happening at Orlando Devs. And, you know, it's a once a month meetup and everything's virtual now. But one of the things that I love at these events is that there's the idea of lightning talks at the end, right? So tell me about what a lightning, explain to everybody what a lightning talk is and why you folks do lightning talks at the end.
Yeah. So lightning talks are essentially 5 to 10 minute talks about any topic that makes you happy that is in tech, right? So that's like, say that, you know, you just implemented something really cool at your job and you're really stoked about it. And you just want to say, hey, I used, you know, Kubernetes today. And this is how, you know, I stood it up and, you know, it only took me X amount of time and here's the documentation, right? And so it takes you 5, 6, 7 minutes to say that conversation and get people kind of interested, which is kind of what a talk does in a like a larger scale, right? And I don't know if most people know this, but you know, people really don't have really huge attention spans. So people typically only kind of pay attention to anywhere between 12 minutes, maybe like 15 minutes if you're like really, really good at paying attention to things. But typically it's like maybe like 10 to 12, right? So if you are giving a lightning talk anywhere between 5 and 7 minutes, people are focused on you the entire time, which is super awesome. That's like a great advantage that you have with a lightning talk. And then you get to talk about something that you love or that you're excited about. Which, I mean, who wouldn't do that, right? I've learned a lot from lightning talks for sure. I know one of my favorite lightning talks that I've seen was there was a really, really cool developer from Lighthouse Works. And he was speaking about how he added different kinds of like accessibility things to his application. And I thought that was really, really nifty. Cool. Yeah, there. That Lighthouse Works, by the way, is it's an organization, I believe, that gives back to people who are not as sighted, essentially, as like, you know, like don't necessarily have 20/20 vision, might be like hard of hearing, things of that nature, right? So, they do accessibility tooling so that people who aren't sighted can get like really cool jobs or have tools that they can use to like be awesome at their jobs, right? Which is kind of awesome, right? Like, so they put like layers on top of your computer so that you're able to work with the UI of whatever thing that you're using, right? So I just think that is the coolest thing that like someone creates code that helps other people do like what they do best, you know. It's just so amazing. At any rate, I learned that from a lightning talk, which was, I think he spoke for exactly 3 minutes and I still talk about it to this day. And that was like 3 years ago. So I mean, Lightning Talks are super awesome. I know there's a bunch of people in the community who started off speaking at our Lightning Talks and then moved up to being like actual speakers who speak at, you know, big conferences. Right. So,
and to that point, like a lot of people are nervous and don't want to get up and talk, but if you can stand in front of people for 5 minutes or 3 minutes, then it makes it so much easier and accessible for folks to get up and talk. And, you know, there's a couple of things that one of the best ways to learn is to teach, because if you're teaching, there's probably going to be a good chance that you are interested in making sure you know what you're talking about. So you're going to do the research and understand, and then it just builds confidence. And then you end up getting that speaker high, where it's just like, all you want to do is get up in front of people and talk. I've seen it happen with a bunch of people, and it's just so cool.
It is amazing. I mean,
I love that.
It's also like a good thing, having that 5 minute, you could get someone else with you, right? Like you can have two people do it.
Yeah.
And if you have two people do it, you actually kind of expand the attention level a little bit more, because you're getting two people who are speaking. So people have to focus on something else, or someone else rather.
Right.
So if you have two people and you have that 7 minute mark, you're getting full fledged attention the whole time. And also both of you get some speaking experience, which is super awesome.
And you know, the Orlando Devs Meetup also helps teach soft skills too. So, but why would a tech meetup be, why is it important to teach soft skills at a tech meetup?
So, Orlando Devs has done a lot for me. I got started in Orlando Devs because, the person who was running it at the time, his name is Sergio Cruz. He was our president for a little bit. So he was like, hey, I'm by myself. I need help. Can you please help me? You seem like you're in almost every meetup in town. Just come, please. Just please. And so I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do, but all right, cool. We kept having people come and like join, and it was just super amazing. And I saw how awesome it was to have people feel like they were part of a community. And that made me feel happy because I didn't feel so alone. So kind of selfish, I know, but but definitely amazing, right? And so that was part of what we strove for, and maybe even continue to strive for, is making sure that we're welcoming and inviting. We even have a Slack group that has over 4,000 members right now.
Yeah.
And you know, we're all about, you know, trolling each other, but in a loving way, and helping each other get jobs and being encouraging to each other. And it's honestly kind of like having a bunch of brothers and sisters that you love and hate all at the same time. They're amazing people, and like, I wouldn't trade them for the world. They're just fantastic.
Yeah, that Orlando Devs meetup group, I mean, that is really, I want to say the soul of the Orlando tech community. If you're moving to Orlando, you definitely have to go to these meetups, because you'll meet people, and that could be your next job or someone who can help you with a problem that you're having. It's a fantastic group, and they do really, really cool meetups, and they're once a month. And like I said, now they're virtual, so you can do them from home, attend them from home. But speaking of which, how has the group fared in the era of COVID, now that we are all working from home? Is it still going strong, right?
So I'm not sure so much about the meetups, because personally, I haven't gone to the meetups in a bit. I'm mostly just trying to enjoy my time.
I know they had a May, June, and July. Mm-hmm. So I suspect they'll be in August, and you know, so for folks who are interested and who are hearing this, and I know there's a lot of people down here in Florida who are hearing this podcast, definitely check it out if you're in the Orlando area. Again, you could watch it from your couch.
Yeah.
Any other comfortable chair in your home.
We try to do no months off, which is pretty awesome. But we're also always available on Slack. So if you just want to chat with the people who actually, you know, give those talks, then you can talk to them one-on-one in our Slack, which is amazing. So we have people like in our Slack group who literally travel around the world giving conference talks. So like, that's a huge, awesome thing, right? Like, so you can literally talk to people who you want to like emulate someday, right? Which is kind of awesome that like all of the devs who are amazing are from Orlando. So,
and a lot of Microsoft folks down there too. So that's, like I said, it's a really cool thing. And I'll put the Orlando devs website and the Slack channel, you know, where you can get a Slack channel invite in there. So you can check it out afterwards. You know, but again, speaking of meetups and whatnot, you're also a member of the Black Orlando Tech Meetup. And just real, you know, tell me what that organization is about.
Yeah. So Black Orlando Tech is quite literally the most loving, most fantastic group that I have ever been a part of. And that includes like every place that I've been in St. Petersburg, which I adored and where I learned how to code. That includes Orlando Devs, which I love you all, but like Bot is fantastic. and so Bot is completely all inclusive, right? So it specifically is for mentoring and fostering minority groups, not only in Orlando, but like all of Central Florida. And cool. They're just so phenomenal. Like the last meetup that I went to in person, they actually did like a whole potluck thing. So like everybody like cooked and literally the most amazing food. Like there were so many people. It quite literally doubled the amount of people that were at an ODEVS meetup. And like it was so cool to see people that I literally never even seen before, like at an ODEVS meetup, right? They're just like, who are you? What do you do? You make cool things like with art and code? What? Like, I mean, they're just phenomenal human beings and so loving. And honestly, like, I'm just even, like, I'm so blessed to just be even associated with that meetup. They're so fantastic.
And speaking of some of the really fantastic things that they're doing and that you're doing, so throughout August and September, you're co-teaching an intermediate web development course, and it's sponsored by Black Orlando Tech. You know, that's just that alone is a fantastic endeavor right there. I mean, because we'll kind of get into it, but what are you hoping that the students get out of the course?
Yeah, so I want them to get what I didn't get when I was learning how to code, which is feeling like they can be self-sufficient, right? I feel like when I learned how to code, and this is nothing bad against you know, how I learned to code or anything like that, but completely like, I was just terrified and scared a lot and I wasn't confident in my skills. And that wasn't because I didn't know how to do things. It was just because, you know, junior dev syndrome, you know? So I was really terrified, and I want them to be able to come out of this and just be like, you know what? I can start my own Etsy shop, or I can write, you know, an application and feel confident in the fact that I can give back to my own community, or, you know, make money from the things that I enjoy doing. I think that's what I'm looking for my students, I guess.
Well, so it's intermediate web development and then ways to help combat imposter syndrome, which is fantastic. I mean, that alone is fantastic. But so, you know, people have to pay for the course, but unfortunately, by the time you're listening to this podcast, you know, registration has ended and Janelle is a few weeks into the course. So all of that is amazing, right? But it gets more amazing. If you could get more amazing than amazing, it's getting there, because students get part of the registration back upon completing the course. Is that right? Did I read that right?
Yeah, absolutely. They get part of their tuition back.
Why? Which, that's so, I mean, like, why is Black Orlando Tech doing that?
Well, I mean, so part of their tuition is going to go to helping other people get into classes, right? So it's almost like all 100% of the profits go back to the community. So literally bot is only taking enough to give to another student. Does that make sense?
Crazy.
I know, it's like the best thing.
I've never heard of that before.
So fantastic.
Because the money that get give back to the student, it obviously goes back to the student, but then the money they keep goes back to other students. It's just,
yeah. It's literally like a never ending circle of like just amazingness, right? So like, it's not like bot is taking any money to be like, hey, we're just going to take this money because, you know, that's cool, right? Like
But I mean, that's the thing, but they're facilitating these courses, which, I mean, you could say, look, you know, we're doing a service. So yeah, we can charge you money mm-hmm. because we're providing a service. We're teaching you something. You're walking away with something and we're getting something in return.
Yeah,
that's fine. But then the money that they take in is just going right back into another program.
Yep.
And that's the fantastic part about that.
It's beautiful. I mean, I think there are, I'm not sure if it's 8 or 9 classes right now. Yeah. Not entirely sure. But out of all of those classes, like, let's say that there's, you know, 6 to 10, maybe even more students in each one of those, right? So not only are, you know, the classes kind of paying for other students to be there, you know, so sometimes like there might be a need, right? Like, hey, I really want to code. I really need to get out of this job, you know, for one reason or another, right? So we're empowering people to change their lives and not charging them an arm and a leg to do so, right? Yeah. So I think that's fantastic. I think, so right now our courses cost $200 and you get half of that back when you complete the course. And so we're literally saying, look, we're not saying that, you know, you're going to be a complete 100% data scientist by the end of this course, but right. You are going to get all the tools that you need to become, to keep going, right? And then, you know, continue growing and learning. And you can change your life with that, even just a little bit, right? So if you're learning, you know, kind of like, what I would like to liken it to, I guess, is like, let's say that you're doing free code camp and you're doing it every day. And then, you know, after about a week or two, you're just like, well, I got to go do the dishes. And then later on, you're like, well, you know, I also have to take care of my kids. I have to pick them up. You know, they're at my aunt's house and I got to, you know, make sure that they're okay. And then you continue like building upon building upon building. Like, oh, I have to pick up that extra shift at work. Oh, I have to do this, that, and the other. And then by that time, it's been 3 months since you've touched free code camp.
Right.
Right. With like this, you're literally saying, here's some money. Just hold it for me and give it back to me when I'm done. Right. That way you're held accountable. Right.
And some of the times what I've seen is that when you see a junior developer or someone who's really just kind of getting into it, if they get in, they hit a wall with a problem. It's like if there's no one there pushing them or they're not in a job that if they don't get it done, you know, they're fired. But so this is that kind of thing that, oh, okay, you're in a loving community and you're being, you know, there's a huge incentive to finish and follow through. So
yeah,
just fantastic.
Yeah, bot is so fantastic. If you know nothing about bot, definitely look it up. Hopefully.
Oh, we'll put it
in the show notes.
Yeah, it's going in the show notes.
I love it.
So is this the first instructor gig that you've had?
No, I did the first round as well. So I did intro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was part of the starting team, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
And yeah, so this time around I was like, well, since we're learning JavaScript, I want to make sure that there's more instructors available just in case, you know, especially after starting a new job, I just wanted to make sure that all the students were taken care of. And so now we have two instructors and a TA, which I like to say we have three instructors because really Nathan's fantastic and not a TA. And he's been coding for literally 3 times as long as I have.
Right.
So he's fantastic. And so, yeah, they're like the instructors are super awesome and they're there to, you know, help every single person there. I know I had students that have come from the intro class and now are in the intermediate class. And it's so cool to be like, oh my gosh, look at that, you're growing. Like I saw you literally write your first like HTML and now you're in GitHub and it's your first week and I'm so proud of you, right? Like it's the coolest thing ever. So yeah, if anybody has like a chance to not to like try to be like, hey, donate to Bot, but please donate to Bot because they're amazing, right? Because you're literally giving, you're giving back to the community in ways that you can't even imagine. Like, they're super amazing.
For sure, for sure. You know, I have an idea. I mean, well, at the end of each cohort, is there a some kind of a project that the students complete?
Yeah, for at least my class, I think other classes as well. So for my class, there's a midterm. So they have to complete a kind of like portfolio for their midterm. And then the end of their course, they're going to be doing a game. So a Pong.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so they have to build Pong from scratch with no assets. So that's going to be, if you're listening to this and you're part of my class, that's, you're welcome. Those are your homework for the last week of school.
Well, maybe we'll do this. If you're interested, maybe we'll have you back in the end of September and we'll bring some of your students along and we can talk to, like, kind of have a group chat and see about, you know, what the experiences were and whatnot. Would you be interested in something like that?
Oh my gosh, I'm sure they would be excited. They would be super stoked for that.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll talk about that after and we'll figure out the details there.
Yay!
Okay, so obviously we've established Janelle is awesome. So now we're going to ask her what we ask everybody at the end of the show, or towards the end of the show, I should say, to kind of look back and we'll do a little bit of retrospective questions. Okay, so Janelle, what were some of the challenges that you struggled with as a developer coming up in the field that you wish you didn't have to deal with?
This is a really loaded question.
Well, no, I mean, it's not, I'm not, you know, it's really kind of, so for example, I ask people who have, you know, 20 years of experience developing code, I typically ask them what they see junior developers struggle with. Okay. So what I want to know, I mean, you're not a junior developer by any means, but you know, you don't have that 20 years of experience either. So you're kind of in that middle. So that's what I'm saying. So you're a lot closer towards that beginning area. So I want to know what challenges did you struggle with that you wish, like, you know, you either didn't have to deal with, or that there were better resources for you to reach out to so that you can figure out solutions to things or, you know, overcome some of those hurdles.
Yeah. So I think a couple of things, the most positive one, I'll start with that one first, I guess, I heard from, I think, you know, one of my first jobs, you know, I got really like defeated when I couldn't do something or couldn't do it as fast as other people. And so one of the developers there said, it's just reps. And that, it stuck with me ever since, right? So I wish I would have known that before. So really, your job as a developer gets easier because you do it more and more every day, right? So literally, it gets easier day by day by day. So the thing that you've been Googling since the beginning, you'll eventually remember it, right? Like, it might take 3 years of Googling it, but by the fourth year, you'll be like, oh, I don't have to Google that anymore. I know it, right? Like, and you'll solve things faster because it really is just repetition. It's, you know, senior developers are senior developers because they've had that much more time to Google things. So like, that's really it, right? So yeah, it's just a matter of like, hey, you'll remember how many times you've Google searched that thing. So that's really it. So that's the positive thing, and that I wish, you know, I would have been told a lot earlier. And then I guess the kind of like medium thing is it's okay to leave. It's okay to not stay in a situation that is not great, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think especially when you're just getting hired, you get like your first couple of jobs and they're not necessarily the best match. Sometimes they do become a best match, right? Like sometimes you get your first job and it's the best thing ever and it's fantastic and wonderful and lovely. But that's super rare. Kind of like, you know, like you have a high school sweetheart. There are people who marry their high school sweethearts and that's fantastic and wonderful and beautiful. And I love it. but most people don't, and that's okay. So don't be married to your first or second job. It's okay to move on. So I think my first job was beautiful and fantastic and amazing. And I was like, you know what? I want to keep going with this and let me try to get something that's a little bit more challenging. And I love you all, but let me move on. And then I got that second job and it was horrible. It was the worst job I've ever had. And, you know, I got that job and it was just like, well, I don't want to leave. I feel bad. You know, everything is terrible and I don't feel emotionally okay. I don't feel like I'm being challenged in ways that are healthy. You know, a bunch of terrible things. And yeah, I was too scared to leave until I was just like, you know what, I can't. And I broke down, right? And it's okay. It's okay to just feel like, hey, this is not okay, and just leave.
Yeah.
Because your emotional and mental well-being is more important than not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've talked to two different people on the show so far, and you know, one person had the mindset of like, well, just push through, and you'll get to the other side. And then someone was like, look, you know, if you're not happy, leave. And so you kind of have to find that balance and, mm-hmm. and know what it is in your case specifically to figure out, okay, do I stick this out? Is this a situation that can get better? And kind of think, is it a situation that can get better? Mm-hmm. And like, what are the odds it will get better?
Right.
And then figure out, okay, do I stick around? Because yeah, I mean, life's too short to stick around and being miserable, especially in tech where it can be miserable. And that's why we're trying to do the podcast, is to kind of spread some joy, be positive, and kind of have really experienced folks share some of their knowledge so that younger developers coming up can listen to some of this and say, oh, okay, I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind here and know that when this situation where these things happen. So,
yeah, I mean, one of the things that I read about in Orlando Devs, our Slack, because we have awesome channels in there. There was, you know, a developer who was like, look, I'm making more money than I thought I would ever make in my life. Because, you know, he was going to be like a rock star, really cool. He's very interesting fellow, really. Just join our Slack. Just join it. You know, he's like, I'm making more money than I ever thought I would in my life, but I don't feel emotionally okay. So I got to leave, right? And so if he made the right choice for him, right? And that might be different for you, right? Like maybe it's not a money problem. It's just a, you know, emotional problem. Or maybe it's like a, you know, I'm not being challenged as a developer problem, right? And you just got to find the right thing for you and make you happy, make your family happy.
Yeah. No, I've dealt exactly with those two things. That's why I ended up moving to Florida where I didn't know anybody and just said, yeah, I'm going to write mobile development. I'm going to do mobile development stuff. And I didn't know any mobile development platform code. So
you're like, I'm just going to make me happy.
This will work out fine. And it did, but I mean, I got incredibly lucky, but there are other ways to do it than the way I did it, obviously. Okay. So, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, as a community, I think it's just more important that we are supportive of each other. I mean, cause look, as software developers, we're kind of all part of this one big wacky tribe, and it's important that, you know, you behave on Slack channels. You be nice to people on social media and just kind of be supportive, because people are going through all different types of, you know, issues at work. So what advice would you give your younger self now that you've had all of your career experiences to date?
I think the advice that I would give myself is don't go to college. I know that sounds terrible.
I don't think it sounds that terrible nowadays. I really don't. Because I went to a 4-year school.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I'm going to do the calculations in my head here, because it was about 25 grand a year. Right. So for 4 years, it's 100 grand.
Yeah.
I had scholarships. I had grants. I had loving parents who lent me some money. I borrowed some money, but you know, it's a lot of money. And I know that was a couple of decades ago. So the fact that there are code schools out there that will teach you all of this in 4 months.
Yeah.
And then they will help place you at jobs, because my 4 years university didn't do that. So
It's college was a waste of money. Sorry about it.
You also went to school for something else, right? Not coding related.
Yeah, I went to school for broadcast communications and theater arts. So okay. I can do makeup really well. That's what I learned from college.
So when your makeup
looks beautiful always.
There you go. All right. How about this? How about if in the future you can travel back in time to this moment right now? Mm-hmm. What advice do you think your older self would give your current self today?
Oh, geez.
This is that 88 miles an hour in a DeLorean question.
Oh, this one's a tough one. I don't know. I am so happy right now. I know that sounds really weird. But yeah, I think maybe, advice that I want for myself now in an ideal world, which hopefully is what I'm in like 3 years from now or 5 years from now, is enjoy the people around you, and continue growing and learning. Take time for your cool new fiance, who's awesome, and keep on keeping on.
Congratulations, by the way, on that.
Thank you.
All right. It gets a lot simpler. Trust me. I mean, there's no more time bending questions. What's the one thing that you do to escape and clear your mind from writing code, or just maybe technology in general?
I will show you. I know you can't see all of this, but
I'll try to describe it to the listeners here.
So, okay. I roller skate.
Wow. Okay. So I just want to let folks know. So, and if you can, Janelle, send me a picture so I could put this up. Janelle is holding up a shiny patent leather, I think gold, roller, okay, roller skate with covered in LEDs. Not a roller blade, a roller skate, and it almost looks like an Air Jordan.
I'm not sure what they are. They are men's shoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. We got to get a photo of that, and we'll put it up on we'll put it up on Twitter. Of course, the LEDs are changing colors.
Yeah, they have different
settings. So do you roller skate outside, or do you go to a rink?
So before COVID, I used to roller skate in a rink. So my fiance and I, like, we would go typically every other weekend.
Okay.
And it was the most fun, amazing thing. And he's really good at it. So he can, like, do spins and cool things. And I used to go to, like, skate class and everything. So we loved it. And now, post-COVID, we look like Bambi. Our skates outside, because we're like, we're so used to no rocks and no sticks. And so we're getting better. So now we can skate without falling, mostly. And so I currently have three pairs of skates. So I have my derby skates, because I used to, I was recruiting for derby before COVID.
Oh, wow.
And I have my, my skates that are like, for like fun time, like the ones that I just showed you. And then I have my really beautiful outdoor skates, which are like cute yellow boots. They're high heels almost. They're very cute. They're adorable.
That sounds incredibly difficult.
They're really fun.
But did I hear you say roller derby?
Yeah. Yeah. I was starting roller derby and That's then COVID cool. happened. And now I'm not doing roller derby, which is sad.
Maybe one day.
I know.
One day.
I know.
All right. Well, let's kind of get towards this is the last question I've got for you.
Okay.
All right. So, because we want the podcast to be all about positivity.
Yeah.
So this means that, you know, folks need to love themselves before they are able to show love to others in the community. So here's a chance for some self-promotion. Okay. What about yourself are you most proud of or love the most or use to inspire confidence in yourself?
Like code wise or
well,
like,
no, I mean, so basically it's really just anything. I mean, you know, cause here's the thing. One of the things that I like to tell folks is that if you're not able to promote yourself, cause I mean, just like whatever three things, I mean, I tell people find if you're not feeling confident about yourself, find three things that you're awesome at, or you just feel awesome when you're doing. And those are the things, because if you can't sell yourself to yourself, how are you going to do it to your colleagues, to your boss, to an audience of people if you're giving a talk, right? So really just what's one thing or a couple of things that you're most proud of that you use to or inspire confidence in yourself?
So work-wise, I am really good at accessibility. I love doing it. It makes me very happy.
That's very cool.
I'm super obsessed with it. And I love learning about it. So that's what instills kind of confidence in myself is being able to be like, hey, I'm learning and growing, and also I'm good at this. So that's one thing. I think the second thing that I'm pretty good at is being happy.
Wow, that's a pretty cool thing to say.
Yeah. I'm very good at being happy. Yeah. It means that, like, you know, I pride myself on my happiness. It's sometimes a not great thing because then I'll, you know, prioritize like happiness when, you know, I should be sad in a moment, right? But it's also really good because I have what people call resting friendly face. So like literally anyone will talk to me. And so that means I get to talk to people from everywhere, which I love. So hopefully COVID ends by next year, so I'm able to talk to people on the street again, because I miss that so much.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would appreciate COVID ending by this time next year. Thank you. And I think those make me feel happy and confident in myself.
There's no wrong answer. I mean,
something that I do well, or things that I'm excited about, or something.
Yeah, I mean, anything that you're like I said, you love the most about what you do, or like anything at all that makes you happy, that inspires you. You know, because a lot of times, I mean, that's it. The reason I asked the question is so that folks who are listening can get an understanding, like how can they relate and how can they help beat their symptoms of feeling like an imposter, you know, because again, this is a tough field. Everything code's constantly changing. You know, it's, you think you've mastered it and it's like, okay, cool. Version 2 of the SDK just came out and it's changed everything, you know? So, you know, it's like that. So, you know, again, it's just, what are things that people can relate to, you know, our guests and understand, oh, I do something like that. I'm something similar like that. I should feel happy or proud that I'm involved with this or can do that. Yeah. Like, yeah. I said, there's no wrong answer.
Well, I guess I'm also like really, I like doing my makeup and not sharing it with people, but I do my makeup all the time, which is really weird. So I don't put makeup on for like work or anything like that, because I'm a weirdo and I don't like to wear makeup to work.
Just for yourself and then you take it off?
Yeah, I literally just wear makeup. So my best friend and I will do video hangouts and we'll do like a theme or something. Like the theme will be like glitter, and you've got to do like a glitter kind of thing to your face or like your body or whatever it is.
Cool.
And so like we'll like challenge each other to do like makeup looks. So the last glitter, like our last challenge was a glitter challenge, and I did my whole face, and then in like just normal everything, a dark lip, and then like glitter tears coming down. And it was the coolest thing, a glitter tears and glitter like up underneath my eyebrows. So it was just like, it was kind of awesome, not gonna lie. Yeah, I don't like share that. Like,
so it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a private YouTube makeup video tutorial, but just for you.
Yeah. It's just for me and my best friend.
And not on YouTube. Okay.
No, cause I'm too scared, I guess. Not scared of like my skill, but like scared of like being like, hey, I don't know. It's again, the imposter syndrome, right? Like I'm almost like frightened that people are going to be like, well, you're a developer. What are you doing with like all that makeup? So, I mean, I think I'm going to turn that into something. So I was thinking of hanging out with a friend online and doing a makeup and code kind of thing so that, you know, we could be like, hey, like we're making a CSS version of our favorite makeup palettes, or, hey, we're going to just do our eyebrows today. Or something weird, but like that way, like, I don't know, it kind of destigmatizes being like someone who likes makeup and also is a developer. I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
I would say do. I mean, you know, because the first person I talked to on the show was Brandy Morgan, and one of the things she was saying was that, look, you know, I don't really care what people have to say about me because I like to wear, you know, girly clothes and wear makeup. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, there's another word that I would use, but
yeah, no, she's super awesome at that. And like, I love that. She's the type of person who brings her husband everywhere, and her husband her huge cheerleader for her. And I think that is the coolest thing, because a lot of people will just be like, well, this is my thing. I'm owning it. Right. Regardless of whether or not, you know, you're male, female, you know, non-binary, trans, you're like, you know, you're like, this is what I'm good at, right? And so you try to own it by yourself. And the thing I love about Brandy Morgan and her husband is that they're like, this is an us thing. We're proud of, you know, each other. So if Brandy is giving a talk, like her husband is right there, like front and center, like supporting her, and vice versa. If he's like, you know, starting a company or doing something like anything, she's right there like, hey, how can I help? How can I volunteer my time? How can I, you know, write some code, whatever you need? And that's so cool that they do that. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So Brandy and Josh, if you're listening, hi.
Hi.
Cool. I mean, that's awesome. Janelle, I hope you had some fun hanging out today, despite all of the technical glitches that we've had throughout.
It's okay. I expect it. I was part of a podcast.
Okay.
I didn't know how to turn on my mic for like 3 weeks.
The show is really running pretty smooth up until today, but new computer. All right. So for folks out there that are interested in hearing more from Janelle, you can join the Orlando Devs Meetup group or their Slack channel. You can follow her on Twitter at Nalaro. We're going to put links in the show notes to Janelle's DevFest talk. From last year.
Oh, okay.
The Orlando Devs website and how you can get onto their Slack, the Black Orlando Tech website, and a link to the Thunder Nerds podcast as well. Thanks again, Janelle.
Yay, thank you for doing this.
And thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We're on a bunch of your favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Anchor, and more. So subscribe on your favorite platform to Friends That Code and tell your friends, because next week we'll be back again with another amazing person that I know that just happens to write code for a living. Until then, be well, everybody.
Code.